Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If Confirmation Day is going to be during the season of Easter, this fourth Sunday of Easter fits very, very well. The Lord, being the Good Shepherd, is a wonderful image for his church. You can go back throughout all the Old Testament to find that shepherd theme. The firstborn son of Adam and Eve, Abel, was a shepherd who brought a portion of his flock to God, but you also know that unfortunately he died by the hand of his own brother Cain. We can jump ahead to the land of Egypt, to slavery, where God as a shepherd used his servant Moses to crush the wolf, Pharaoh, and all his raging army, but delivered his sheep, Israel, through the Red Sea. Again, in the Promised Land, God called David, a shepherd boy, to go kill Goliath. And he became the iconic king of Israel. And this is that one king who most people know wrote Psalm 23. And if you don't know what Psalm 23 is, you're going to hear most of it most of the time during a Christian funeral. And you at least know the beginning words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, since confirmation is today, we look forward to those baptized sheep of Christ who will be make a good confession of their great shepherd Jesus and desire to follow him in their lives. Of course, they were able to avoid their last examination, which they had some smiles on their faces because we do 3 years of examination here at Trinity. But these sheep aren't going to get off very easy. Instead, as pastor, I decided the whole flock of God today, will suffer. You'll suffer together with them by sharing and answering parts from the small catechism. Since everything in life, as we know it, everything, will be shaken, Easter puts us before Jesus, who died and now lives, promising he alone is our refuge. The only good shepherd Jesus, you see, saves his sheep by the great love he gives. So, that kind of love is very, very committed to make an irrefutable defense. That's what it's all about. Jesus unpacks the good of the good shepherd, doesn't he? He unpacks that statement. He says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good of that shepherd is not what you think as Americans who hear the word good. You know, we think good day, good food. Okay, that's fine and all, but it's a little bit deeper than that. You could better translate it saying, the right shepherd, the honorable shepherd. You could even say, the beautiful shepherd. So, turn to your hymnals, page 322. Let's make sure, Pastor, got the numbers right. Yep, 322, the right column. And we are going to read together the part that says, what does this mean about the second article of the Apostles' Creed? You remember the Apostles' Creed is broken into three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're going right smack dab in the middle. And we will answer, what does this mean when we say, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, right? Like in the Creed. So what does this mean? We say that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from all eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with holy and precious blood, and innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead
lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Plenty, you see, give their life for many honorable and loving things. We must respect soldiers, police officers, even parents. But here's the catch. You can only do it once. You can lay down your life for one kid, but not all your children. A pastor can die for the church, but he ain't gonna come back. You see, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, commits to save lost and condemned sheep like us, saying by his sacrifice, very clearly, you did not choose me, I chose you. The way of his cross is a way of beauty because it's a way of glory that nobody else can bring to life for sinners. Wolves only see food, and hired hands only see profit. But Jesus, by his death, chose love. Being able to see sinners righteous and blessed in him all the way to the death on the cross, and even through that death to resurrection to speak good news all our days. And so you see, the love is built on a relationship then, isn't it, that truly does care. Rather than just being a commodity like a hog farm, you got so many thousands of hogs and you don't even know their names. You kind of have a few die and you replace them and all that kind of jazz, you know. You're not a commodity. Jesus reveals every sheep matters to the Good Shepherd. He says, I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is knowledge more than info or memory work and confirmation, but knowing in the sense of a relationship between Jesus and his disciples. Turn to page 330, not too far away from where you're at. This portion of the catechism is called Christian Questions with Their Answers for those seeking to come to communion. And the last question kind of really puts it right before your eyes about this need for relationship with Jesus. And so we'll read together. The question is, but what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? And so we read together. To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood, and he should believe what the scriptures say of it being alive. Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world, and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble. As the scriptures say in John 15:16, and in 1 John 2:5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8:16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2. So it's easy to forget how we know Jesus, which without his word and sacrament, without those means of grace, we end up grazing off into very fatal pastures. Oh, they look green, but it's like AstroTurf. It's not going to help you out. You see, foolish strain by sinners brings death. But St. John says, today you heard it, in the epistle reading, whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. This is not a knowing of all the molecules in the universe and all that kind of stuff, which is important, but this is the knowing of our condition and need of a Savior and a Lord who's looking out for us, who knows truly why straying sheep stray. Jesus remains faithful, though. And he uses pastors to deliver how the Good Shepherd relates to his sheep. seeing you all through any trials and sufferings and even death itself. That's what it's all about. Confirmation is not graduation. If I could do it, I would kick this thing clear across to the other side of the year, make it during October or something. I don't know, Reformation Day. But the truth of the matter is that this is not graduation. You're just getting in the middle of it all. And Jesus knows what kind of sheep we are and how much we need to know him through his word and, most importantly, through what we receive of his body and blood. And so you see, you have to also recognize then this deep care and commitment by the shepherd is also never content with love that is to be quiet. Jesus is never quiet. He is confident that there is no closed-off community, only his flock, because he is the one shepherd. And so, yeah, we got lots of communities today. They're very special and unique that we all live in. But the reality is that there is no community but one that belongs to Jesus. That's it. And he says this, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And so finally, we turn to back to 3:23, and we'll read the third article of what does this mean about the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is how the sheep are able to hear and follow the shepherd. And so we read together, what does this mean, the left column below the third article of the creed. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole, guides the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it in Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Do you get it? If it's good enough that God comes and does for me what he gives me through Jesus, it's going to be good enough for others. Might not seem like that, but it doesn't matter. We just have to trust that what's good enough of how I am able to trust and look to Jesus for forgiveness and life and peace, it will go out to others. Peter shared this freely, that kind of a witness worked by the Holy Spirit, so others could hear, but this wasn't a fun sharing like at Caribou Coffee or amongst a family, you know, get together. This was amongst a bunch of people who did not like what he was saying and doing. And Peter still said, out of love, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He didn't care about the ones who were going to blow it off. He cared about the few who would what? Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus and follow him. Our confirmands, as you know, receive their Bible verses today. Those Bible verses are not to hide, but to direct any to hear that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And so their Bible verses, really quickly, are this. For Jackson, it's, Jesus said to me, to St. Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There's nothing better than weakness, because we were all born into the world weak, and we all will leave this world weak. And we, frankly, even with all our strength, are still weak. But we have one who watches over us, and so we get to boast in his name. And that's a great witness, because only Jesus can save sinners. Sadie's got the Bible verse, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Lots to do. Lots of great things to go to work and both for achievements in life and for love to others, but always in the name of the Lord Jesus, because there's no other name that's going to last. No other name that's above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Finally, for Gabe, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. So that's one of those things where you go through life, you get to make these choices all the time. And we're all hocked up on choices in our culture, and it drives me nuts. Because, yeah, you want to raise your kids and make good choices, and you want to have good things, but the problem is you never stop choosing. It will make you go bonkers, won't it? You make one choice, and now you got to what? Make another. You know? I choose to marry this woman. Great! Now you got to choose to live with each other. Again and again and again. You see, it all works for the better good because Jesus chose us. So life is about moving through transitions with the better grace of God. The fourth Sunday tells us who owns the flock by his life and only his life. Because Jesus said it today, I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up. I don't have authority to lay my life down. I keep avoiding death. Jesus just dies. And when I die, I'm not taking my life back. But guess what? Jesus has the authority to what? Raise from the dead. And where he lives, so will I live. And so I will be risen from the dead by his authority. As we wrap up the resurrection theme of Christ and the Easter season, for the remainder of the time together, turns to the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It's not in comfort and ease, but troubles and fears, where the most ancient image of Scripture draws God close to our lives. The only good shepherd, Jesus, saves his sheep by the great love he gives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.